Here we go. And we are live. Welcome, guys, to another episode of Spilling Ink. We are the talk show that takes you behind the book to meet the authors and professionals in the publishing industry. You might notice somebody is missing tonight, but don't worry. Your favorite hosts are here tonight. That's right. Jane, how we doing? Oh, no, you've gone silent again.
It's turned off.
So if you guys saw the messages right before the show started, we said we were having minor technical difficulties. This is what's been going on. We've got phantom mic muting happening with poor Jane over there.
I saw like the mic in a minus thing. we love you.
Like, we'll just, you know, smile and nod and pretend we hear you.
Yeah. Like, get a pen.
It's always Murphy's Law, I swear.
It happens all the time, so we understand that. It's okay.
Especially when it's live.
There you go.
Bye, everybody.
We're talking, we can't hear anything.
Well, there you have it. Jane, your favorite host, or say one of your favorite hosts, is here tonight. And I am Katie Salitis, the other favorite host. Don't hear that. Poor Jason is sick tonight. We hope he feels better. We're sending hugs. But since it's ladies' night tonight, let's introduce our author. Roxanne, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Roxanne Sanusi, and I'm a book author of two books. Hi. One is a science of romance novel called Time Travel, and another one is a fantasy story, which is called Anagram.
I like her picture, the broke down chair.
I do, too.
I love it. Okay, so I want to hear about this time travel novel. Tell me a little bit about the story. Don't give away the ending, of course, but give me a quick summary on it.
Basically, it's a main character, Anjali Thompson, who invented a time machine, but her boyfriend accidentally travels back in time. So it's up to her to save him, and there's a lot of conflict in the story, which led her to change the world. So find out how she changed the world by reading the book itself.
Awesome. Ooh, interesting. Uh-oh, we're coming through fuzzy. Guys, are we all fuzzy, or is it just a couple of us? Let me know if the feed is not too good here.
Yeah, right. Katie looks good and Roxanne looks good, but my camera died.
Yeah, you look good now. Everything.
You know, I swear, yesterday was Friday the 13th, which typically is a good day. But it was a crap day for me, and I think it's just spilling over into the whole weekend now.
My brother always gets a bad luck on Friday the 13th, but not me, so I'm happy with that. So poor brother.
Oh, Rebecca says we're perky. Ooh, we're perky tonight. Joe, you're fuzzy.
Yeah, I know my camera's kind of because this lovely doohickey didn't work tonight. Tech support who just walked out wasn't helping.
Thank you. Oh, we're looking good. Yes, we're always looking good. We're the most beautiful people in the planet.
There we go. Look at this. I love this positivity.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the story here. So we've got a time traveler, she creates a time travel device and her boyfriend uses it and goes back in time.
Yes.
Where does he get stuck? Is that a spoiler?
Oh, no, go ahead. It's fine. Okay. He's going to get stuck in 1970, and a lot of happening in the story, so they better find out what it is.
That's pretty cool. I like that. So she gets to be the heroine of the story going to save him.
Yes.
Nice. That's like the days
of disco.
Girl power.
Let's go back to 1970 and have fun, right?
Yes.
Uh-oh, what are we going here? Let's say, check your settings, Joe. Facebook's defaulting to loaders. That's a good point. I've had a lot of videos show up kind of fuzzy, and I didn't know that it was a setting change. So maybe it's that. Jane, aww, your color is weird.
Thank you. not that my color is weird. It's just my stupid ass camera.
Okay, we're clear with Joe now. Miss you, Joe. It's been so long since we've talked. I got to touch base with him. He was just at Dragon Con. That is on my must go at some point list. I want to go to Dragon Con.
What's that? Is it like a book festival or something?
It's like a fantasy sci-fi convention, but it is very heavy into books and fantasy and authors. So it's like the best of Comic-Con and a book festival put together.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. It's in Atlanta.
Someday.
Someday. Georgia. Gotta get your southern on.
Oh, no, I can't do that. Originally from Texas, and okay. I worked very hard to get rid of that accent. But the minute I go back home for any reason, it, as soon as I step off the plane, it comes back, and I can't stop it. Joe Conda Dragon. I got to hear all the stories, though. Mardi Gras for cosplayers. I love that.
That's true.
Yeah, the pictures you see flashing through on social media from events like these are so awesome. It just makes you really want to be there, but it's the cost that's kind of prohibitive right now. But I sign up every year. I send a request every year and cross my fingers and hope someday to go. It'd be cool to bring the Spilling Ink team for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be super, super fun.
You get to interview like a lot of authors and talk about stuff. Yeah. And get exposure, of course.
Well, and just the hanging out with other authors, you know, it was like we were saying before the show, it's like finding your people. It recharges you. You feel really good and you feel inspired when you've been able to hang out with people who share similar interests with you and understand the process of writing and all the difficulties that come with that.
Yeah, it's always nice to connect with, you know, book authors, which I kind of noticed, like, instead of competing with each other, we help each other grow the community. So I love when we help each other.
That's the, you know, the greatest purpose of, you know, once you get farther along is turning around and, you know, helping others.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure you don't make the same mistakes as we did.
We can learn from our mistakes.
Yes. Just like our children that never listen to us anyway.
At least indie authors will listen.
Yes.
Yeah, that is exactly what's beautiful about our community. Everybody does kind of do their part in the community. They, you know, share ideas, share what works, share what didn't work. We share our failures too, and we learn from each other's failures, which is a good way to not make the same mistake.
Mm-hmm. And we are giving exposure to each other, like interviewing each other, critiquing each other. Yeah.
Now that's important too, the whole beta reading aspect of authors sharing with each other, because authors understand book creation process from a different perspective than just a regular reader. And so whereas the reader might know the genre and might know the expectations of the genre, the author that is beta reading might be able to point out a little more nitty gritty stuff, you know, the character arcs, the plot holes, things like that, that you really do need to, you know, make sure are solid before it gets to the editing and then publishing phase.
Making the story more interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you use beta readers at all, Roxanne, on your books?
Oh, no, sadly, no. But on my third book, which I'm writing right now, I will.
That's good. So what was your process then when you, let's say, this is your second book, the Time Traveler, correct?
Yes.
What was your process from writing to publishing? What were your goals?
Basically just getting published and making the story more interesting, because I start everything from creativity, what makes me stand out. So creativity, editing, and then publishing.
Now, when you say you start from yourself, did you put a little of yourself into the character, take from some of your experiences?
No, because I'm not as smart as my characters. So no, I just wanna. I wish I invented the time machine, but no. Just being different and making more the story interesting. So whatever is in my head, I wrote it down. Like I think that Anjali Thompson is a great inventor. I said that to myself, so I make a story out of it.
Okay. Now, she's a good inventor. So what other things has she invented? Was this like her one working contraption, whereas maybe she had a bunch of failures before that?
They have to read the story to find out. But the only main creation that she did is the time travel, and the rest will be in the story.
Okay, I like that, because it again, back through failure, we learn. Sometimes when you know your characters can't get something right, that's a great experience for them that helps to build that character arc.
Yes, that's true. And my biggest mistake that time was not editing, so I got a lot of rejections. So next time, better edit your book, everyone.
Okay, well, talk us through that process. So you're querying your novel. I can talk today, I promise. querying your novel, you're sending it all out. You said it was unedited. And a lot of times they say you don't have to edit before you send it, just make it as clean as possible. So what was your experience with that?
For me personally, a big no, you have to edit your book, because once they ask for it, they ask a chapter of it and they read your book not being edited, they will reject you immediately because of the grammar, the sentences and stuff. That's how I felt when I first gave it to like agents and publishers. I gave one to one publisher and they told me, okay, you have to edit your book. If not, you have to pay us for editing your book. It's a hybrid publisher, by the way.
But
I need to have the book edited.
We're seeing a lot of those pop up too, where it's kind of blurring the lines between the old vanity presses that we were always warned against and the smaller press publishers that are out there, where they're kind of like creating some a la carte services in between. And it really makes you wonder whether or not that publisher is legitimate, because typically when you publish a book or through a publisher, they incur all the costs, which is why your royalties are a smaller percentage of the net profits that come in.
Yeah, for traditional, yeah, that happens. But when it comes to like hybrid, no, they take off. You have to pay them and they still get percentage out of you.
Not really. I mean, I run a publishing house as well. And we don't make our authors pay. If they choose,
good for you.
If they choose to get a cover, they can do that. We've allowed them to do that. And then we increase their royalties to take away what we pay the cover artists. But we do the editing. We do that when we have a traditional contract. Yeah. So Katie and I are going through the back door for the accounting.
Whatever makes the both parties comfortable, so that's okay.
Yeah. You know, we did have to approve the covers, and so far we weren't given anything that was, you know.
Me. They asked me if I want to have my own cover designer. They have their own cover design. So they make me pick them or my own. So I picked them.
But if you picked them, you didn't have to pay.
No.
Correct?
No, that's part of their service. No.
Yeah, Rebecca makes a really good point here.
Right.
Because coming from them as Three Furies Press, sometimes authors ask for just strict publishing. Mm-hmm. And that's different than when they're bringing stuff to the table like cover art.
Right.
Or if they've already had previously edited books, and that would change the royalties that would come through. So yeah, it's going to be different depending on what you're looking for. But the rule of thumb is money is supposed to flow to the author, never away from the author. So if you're paying a lot for pre-publishing services, that's usually a red flag.
Yeah. And the amount they asked you is like $3,000 to just publish your book. I was like, oh my goodness, like, are you joking?
No.
It's like 3,000 something. I still have the email for me. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Oh my goodness.
That's
so much money.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a vanity press.
Yeah.
So
I hope everyone who's watching right now, just be careful choosing your publishers. Because if you go to hybrid, they will ask you to pay them to publish your book. And just be careful.
Right.
And it's always a good rule of thumb to vet whatever publisher you're looking at through the other authors that are out there. Check and see what authors that they've published. Reach out to them. Find out what their experience has been, if they like that publisher, if they were happy with the contract that they got. They'll tell you the real truth.
Right.
Yeah.
you know, and then ask around, you know, go to your author tribe and find out who they're using. How did they get published? And then look at those publishers from there. You can take your time and really find somebody that's going to be a good fit. I like this all caps. That's an expensive edit.
I know.
Yes.
Holy crap. $3,000 just for editing. I can't even
better be a good editor. It better be a really good editor.
from the publisher side of thing, I'm looking at it going, how many books do we have to sell just to cover the cost of editing? Not even cover art, formatting, none of the printing costs, just editing. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And that's right. Ask how they were treated after they were signed. The authors will tell you the truth. You know, if you're talking
about read the contract first. Like, yeah.
What's that?
They better read the contract first before saying yes or no. Like how many percentage you're gonna get, what kind of marketing and stuff like that.
Also, how long do they hold the rights? I know Jason was telling me that he was a little bit unhappy with the publisher that he was working with because they hold the rights for 7 years. That's a long time to have rights on your book and not be able to do anything with it. Other publishers offer smaller terms or renewable, let's say, every 2 years. That's a lot more easy to work with, easy to deal with. If things aren't working, you have a time frame when you can pull back and get your rights back and do either another publisher or reissue it and publish it yourself.
Right. It sounds like the one who is going 7 years probably works with like ACX, the audiobook, because their contracts are 7 years.
Oh, I know. Yep. I know.
Yeah.
And what do you do if, you know, if things weren't perfect when you, let's say, signed on with that producer with ACX, to get your rights back isn't easy. To break a contract isn't easy. 7 years
is a lawyer.
Long time.
Yeah, it is. It is. Especially if the, you know, if what they delivered was subpar and you can't get out of it.
That's true. There's a lot of
people. Aw. Rebecca loves you.
Yes, they didn't start harassing me till after I signed the contract with Three Furies Press. I love them. They're such easy to work with people. I absolutely love them. And again, it's because we're all part of that indie community. We all know each other. We speak to each other on the same level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice. You feel like you're part of a family, not just signing your book away to some random publisher. So I really like working with Three Furies.
Well, good for you. I'm happy for you. It's always nice to have that special relationship with your publisher, just in case you have questions or any changes or any help with marketing. That's a big trust.
And that's a really good thing to point out, too. When you're working with a small publisher and you've got that nice family experience with them, they're going to help you with the marketing, regardless of how you publish or where you publish. You have to do the marketing. But if you've got a team that's backing you up and helping you get through the stuff maybe you don't understand, or find the people you need to reach out to for blog tours, for interviews, podcasts, whatever, you feel like you can do it, because marketing is hard.
Yes, I agree with that.
Now, is your publisher helping at all?
Oh, yes, they're helping me.
Good. Because like I said, that's the hard part. Writing is the easy part.
Right.
As hard as the writing is, that's the easy part. Oh, no. Julia's going to start editing one of my books. I love you, Julia. I love you so much. Be nice to me. That's always fun when it comes back just a red, bloody mess.
Mm-hmm.
All those notes and track changes, and you're like, oh, no.
I have to redo some of them.
Yeah, it usually takes me about 8 hours to clean up a book after the editor
says. You're fast. How do you do it? You work all day and you can still manage to get through all these words without your brain melting. How is this possible?
Good for you. I'm happy. I want to take your brain and put it in my brain.
And I don't drink a lot of caffeine.
Oh, I hate you so much.
I don't get it. I go to work for this last week. I was going to work 8 to 5. And it was a writing job. So, yes, I was using my brain all day to try and be creative and write things. And then I'd come home and there was literally like downtime had to happen because I couldn't think, I couldn't speak properly. I couldn't comprehend what was going on. I had to like shut down and reboot my brain in order to continue.
I understand. I've been there. I just have to close my eyes and just relax for an hour so I can write my book. But the other one, you're so lucky that you get to like, oh, I hate you so much.
16 hours of high brain functioning. And then I kind of like fade at like 10 or 11 at night.
So I understand you, Katie. I'm happy for you.
And then I got three kids. And they're all mommy, 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 mommy. And I'm like, I can't think. What's going on?
Yeah, I did that. No, I have a full-time day job, Roxanne. So, yeah. And it's a pretty high stress. I kind of went off a little bit in the messages to Katie earlier this week because because it was just like primary daddy. So, you know, I have to refrain. Because when I get home from a day like that, I usually take it out on my characters. And there's like a bloodbath. So Katie knows. She's read some of my bloodbath books. Yep. Now she understands. Oh, my God. She must have had a horrendous day.
You saw that chapter I wrote with the two demons that Phoebe kicked the crap out of.
Yeah.
That was cathartic, let me tell you.
Yes.
I wrote and rewrote that chapter. How many different ways can I kick someone in the nuts and shove a glass bottle through somebody's eye? This is fun.
Oh, yes. More. Yes, it's more love, but more I like love. More.
I love more. It more. Like more of everything, Jane.
More, yes. Just give me more.
Oh, speaking of that, I ordered some Spilling Ink shirts from the Three Furies store. I can't wait to see when they come in, what they look like.
Yeah, I'll have to order some too. I like these kind of shirts, you know, just the tank tops because.
Did they have the t-shirt?
That's great. Yeah. I did a t-shirt and a hoodie, I think, on this last order. Because it's getting close to hoodie season. We might see a break in the heat. Oh my God, it's so hot.
Roxanne, where are you out of?
I'm from Las Vegas. So whenever it gets too cold and rainy, it snows.
And it's been hotter than hell this summer.
Yeah, it's super hot in here. It's like, I really hate going out right now. You can see on the window right here, it's so hot because you can see the sun reflected. Yeah. It's so hot. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I'm in Maine.
Typically, September is supposed to be our cool down month, but because the heat lasted so long this summer, we're still like almost triple digits now.
Oh, wow.
We're just barely breaking the 90s and it's going up and down.
But it's dry heat and your hair doesn't look like this.
But it's dry heat. You like dehydrate when you walk outside.
I know.
It's like that meme that living in Vegas is like opening up the oven to get a pan of cookies out, only there's no pan of cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a hot blast of air.
And Las Vegas is a desert city, so I hate it's so hot in here.
Yeah.
We had to have the heater. You can see it in the background there on last night.
No heater, no.
just to keep it at 70. I'm close to that.
Oh my goodness! I'll trade with you. I'll trade. You can come have the heat. I will go take the cold anytime right now.
You can come anytime, Katie.
I keep promising that when winter hits, when it finally does, I will not complain at all this year. I don't care how cold it gets. I will not complain.
Mm-hmm. I love King the snow, by the way.
Mount Charleston is beautiful. That's where we take the kids whenever it's in the middle of the winter and we want them to see snow. We'll go run up to Mount Charleston.
You guys have to visit, Katie. You got to visit the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
or Michigan.
Oh yeah,
Florida has a good beach, so I want to go there.
Oh no, Rebecca, where are you? Are you in North Carolina? I forget where you're from.
I think she's down south.
She'll mess.
She's not answering.
But yeah, I will not complain at all. Come winter, I am so done with the heat. I am done with the $400 power bills. I just want it to be cold.
Aww.
Well, and it zaps your motivation to do anything. Am I right, Roxanne?
Yeah, that's true. I can't even go out to get the mail because it's so hot.
When I got the kids, they're like, "Mom, can we go to the park?" And I'm like, "God, no." <You'll mess.
laughs> Yeah, talking inside.
Yeah, North Carolina.
That's when we go to McDonald's for their little play place because it's enclosed.
In a few weeks, I'll be down in the Winston-Salem area of North Carolina.
Ooh.
I saw her in North Carolina, so I don't know where she is. But in October, we're going down to visit one of his other brothers. So
I think anybody knows.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They're supposed to have.
Yeah, Anita knows cold. For sure. Anita knows cold.
Yeah, that's like Maine. Nova Scotia's a little north of us. but yes. So.
So now, since we're heading into winter, I have to ask, because summer, it does zap your motivation to do anything. But winter is like all about wrapping yourself up and being cozy and warm. Do you find you write more in the winter or do you find that you write more in the summer?
Both, as long as I have my comfortable place. But if I go outdoors, I prefer the cold because, you know, whenever I feel this heat that's in my body, I just complain and just go inside the house. I cannot ride outside because my body is not used to being hot. So I prefer the cold.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like wrapping myself up in my little blanket with my hand warmers, using that while I type. Yeah. I don't mind the cold so much as long as I can warm up. It's the heat. You can only take so many layers off before it becomes illegal.
Yeah, because sometimes I became sweaty and my hair gets oily. So when I'm writing in the heat or hotness, I'm just
not happy. Yeah.
No, for me.
What is this? Do you guys like to go out to cafes to write? Oh, interesting.
I do. I love it. Yeah. Very relaxing.
No, nope.
I don't. Because when I start writing, it's after a long day at work. And you know, sometimes I do go into the office, but most of the time these days we're remote. So, so I just don't want to get out of my PJs.
Oh, there's that. There is nothing compares to being in your fat pants and your big oversized t-shirt and typing away on the couch or wherever you're most comfortable.
Right. Right.
And when I write to different places, like a cafe, it makes me more like a different person, like a different environment. So it's a plus for me because it's a different environment to write on. It's very quiet as well.
Okay. I tend to be, I'm the OCD and an ADHD writer. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have to have my routine for optimal writing. And I'm so easily distracted that they laugh at me at home for this. I have movies that I write to because I know them so well, I don't have to pay attention to them, but the music and the soundtrack behind them, I don't know if it just activates something, but I can write with these movies playing, and it's usually The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings.
The same, yeah.
But it's the feel of the movie. I can sit there with it playing in the background and write no problem, but if you put like a TV show on, I can't pay attention. I'm constantly looking over to see what's going on.
Yeah, I always, sometimes I write with a music on because it makes me relax. And sometimes a movie just to keep me entertained while I'm writing.
Now, if you go and YouTube, look up Lindsay Sterling, her music is so good to write to. She does a lot of that electric violin with different, sometimes she does songs with vocal backings. Sometimes she does songs that are like remakes of like Legend of Zelda or, you know, big thematic songs. And they're so beautiful and they're great to write to, especially when they don't have a lot of lyrics, because then you don't have to worry about what's being said. You can just kind of fall into the music. But look her up. She's excellent.
Oh, I will. Yeah.
I'm just an anomaly here because I can write anywhere with anything going on. If I am in the zone, the world disappears. It's just like reading. If I am in the zone or the story has me.
Yeah, as long as you can write, you're good.
Yeah, and I can write in, you know, in the family room. I could write in the dance studio when my daughter was dancing, in the Jaquito studio where my son was doing, anywhere. You know, if I'm in the story, the world goes away.
Wow.
And people, if they're talking to me, trying to get my attention, have to, like, basically get in my face to pull me away. It's the same thing with reading. If I'm into a really good book, the world goes away.
And yeah, same.
You know, my husband's like, you know, a tornado could come rip the house down and you'd still be writing.
And you're still holding your book. I also like that when I read a book, you know, especially when I love it, I usually finish it in a day as well.
Yeah, pretty much here too. Or if I'm watching a television show or a movie that I really like, if I'm intensely into it, my roommates in college used to be like, they'd walk across in front of me and then the show would go to commercial or the show would go off and I'd turn around and I'd go, when did you come in? <'Cause>
I, and then I'm also like that when I'm reading a book.
It's a serious focus issue. The opposite of like, you know, oh, pretty funny. Yes, pretty much.
That's horrible. I'm so the opposite. Every little thing distracts me. I watch TV with closed captioning on so that I can read the words if I can't hear them because it's always obnoxiously loud in my house. And I get mad when people interrupt me when I'm trying to listen to stuff. I have to have peace, quiet, like optimal writing zone to write in. And then I can put the words out, mm-hmm. but it's got to be in the optimal setting.
Yeah. the more I focus. Do you have kids, Roxanne?
No, I don't, but I love kids.
Mine are grown. Katie's are young, so.
Mine are a mix. I've got a teenager and I've got littles. So when the littles aren't bothering me, the teenager's deciding that that's the moment to tell me all the daily drama.
Yeah.
No, I love to hug kids someday.
They're fun, but they're also a challenge.
The responsibility of being a mother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes it's, like I said, you get home from work and they want you and you're tired as hell and you just need those moments of peace, but they need you too. And you have to just kind of
have to cook for them.
Through it.
Yeah.
And never be afraid to apologize. My mom was never one to apologize when she did something that maybe wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that from growing up. And whenever, you know, if I snap at the kids and, you know, I feel bad about it later, I'll talk to them, explain why I snapped, let them know that I'm sorry. That's not the right response. So I don't want them to feel like I'm too good to, or I'm not too good to apologize and admit when I'm wrong. Because I'm wrong so much more than I'm right.
I think that's part of motherhood. We're just winging it. And somehow the tiny beings grow up to be decent human beings. That's awesome.
That's part of motherhood.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So...
But they provide a lot of inspiration too. Like a lot of the things that you see them go through, or like I said, with the teenager, when she tells me the drama at school, sometimes it's great fodder to put into books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it happens to everyday life of teenagers, especially young adults. Yeah.
And teenagers, they get mad at the weirdest things too.
Just a bit. Yes, they do. And they don't let go. They don't know how to let go.
It's a personal soap opera. When she sits down and she dishes on what's going on in theater and what's going on with the culinary group. And I'm just like, wait, who's that again? wait, how do we know this person? And she's got every, you know, all the whole story, the background, who's talking to who, who's not talking to who, why this person's mad at this person. It's like watching one of those soap operas.
And I actually feel sad when I see a kid like cry on small things, like my pencil broke and they cry. It kind of makes me sad. Like, oh, I wish I can hug that kid. So,
yeah. Yeah, they are great for, you know, stories. And thankfully, my son likes to write. We've written a trilogy together, but we have the oddest conversation. Like driving, we saw cars that were crushed, and we're both looking at them as we're driving along. And we both looked at each other, and I said, "I wonder if somebody might be trapped in one of those." He's like, "Okay, what if?" You know, and we can go back and forth.
Thank you, Julia.
So, you know, we come up with the oddest. It's great to have a mind like that to run things back and forth with. It's been great working with Katie on the books because I think our minds work very similarly, which is frightening. So bouncing story ideas off, you know, somebody like Katie or my son is much more lucrative in getting to where you want to go than, you know, I love my husband, but up until recently, he hasn't really given me ideas or thoughts or feedback. But recently, he has.
Yeah, it's always nice to write with someone that you know, because you're going to make your story more interesting, and you know, you have like less disagreement with each other. So it's always nice to write again with someone that you know and you feel comfortable with.
Right, right.
Yeah, and being able to soundboard with somebody else is so helpful. I mean, even when not co-writing, like we have been with this book, just in the past, I've reached out to you and I've been like, Jane, I'm stuck. This is happening so far and I don't know what to do. And she'll help me come up with ideas, you know, of things that might work. And through that, we'll be able to figure it out and I'll have that inspiration. I'll have the idea of how to move forward and I can continue on.
And I'm very glad that we have this relationship, because I've gone to her a couple times too and whatnot. And it's nice to have somebody you trust in the industry too.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, although when you reach out to me, I die by the OE.
You always go for the idea of murdering something if possible.
Yes, I will.
There was one story where I was talking about, I don't know how to add that extra little bit of drama to it. And I feel like, you know, somebody's going to have to die. And she's like, so give me some characters and I'll tell you which one should die. And I'm like, wow, you're just sacrificing the characters. Just willy-nilly, no problem. Let's kill somebody off.
They make it more fun. Let's kill someone. Make it more interesting.
I like that. I'm too bossy to cry. It is hard to you know, share an idea, especially if you have something that you want to do in the story and the other person isn't on the same page with you. How do you find that compromise?
It just makes the story more harder to write and longer to write. It does something.
And what happens if you can't find the compromise?
I mean, we've had a couple like, well, you know, we've both been like, well, come on.
Yes, say that so we can move on.
But eventually we figure it out. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, put a pin in it. We'll get back to it later. Let's see what happens in the story. And then down the line, you're like, actually, that would make sense. Okay, let's go do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that helps out. And I think it's good that you and I kind of have that, let's, you know, move on from here. We'll get back to that point. We need to push forward mentality, because that does keep the story flowing. And it goes along with the same advice that I give new writers when I'm teaching creative writing. If you get stuck, move forward. Don't stop at chapter 5 and get stuck on chapter 5 until it's perfect. Go to 6, go to 7, go to 8. Move forward and come back and revise later. You will always figure it out later.
Go to a different scene in your head. Yep.
Always take your time on the story, because if you don't take time, the story will be less interesting. Always take your time.
Yeah. Right. And a point you made earlier, I don't know if it was before we started recording or not, but how each chapter needs to be specific and interesting. That's a key thing too. You know, yeah. Making it, even in that saggy middle of a book, you still need those interesting points that keep readers moving forward. Every chapter is going to have something special going on in it.
Yeah, every chapter has to have some tension.
And conflicts, so the readers will not be bored.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, kill somebody off.
Yeah, exactly.
Run him down.
Kill somebody off.
You guys like killing people in your book, probably.
Let me tell you, though, those are some cathartic scenes.
Yes.
When you can't punch someone in person, write about it.
Yes, exactly.
It's a fiction book. It won't happen, but it will happen on the book.
Right. It's all fiction. It helps. Sorry, I'm trying to get comfortable on this
names
hard chair.
May not have been changed. We don't have to change names.
Right.
It's a meme that I see that writers will get revenge in their stories. And, you know, if you piss a writer off, they'll just kill you in their book. It's true.
It is. Absolutely. So, Roxanne, you did the time machine stuff. So what kind of research did you do to try to get some of the science into that?
That's a good question.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, I have to do a research on what it's like to be in 1970 and how to make a time machine, like the mechanics of putting back the wires and everything. So I have to research a lot of mechanics and the time that Anjali and John were in, like 1970. I have to do a lot of research on that. And what I learned while researching about 1970, there's a lot of military base back then and less buildings and less cars.
Right.
Now, research is the fun part, I think. You can get lost going down the rabbit hole in research, because especially if you're looking at a specific time period, you've got to look at the clothing style, you know, what's going on in the news at that time, so you know what the political vibe, the feel of the nation's going to be, where they're at, what's available in those times.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you pick the 70s, that's a good era. There's a lot of fun stuff going on during that time period that you can explore and play with.
Yep. Yeah. So what was the oddest thing you found out about the 70s?
I like the military base, and there's a lot of less cars than before. So I think that's more interesting because Andy Thompson will be walking a lot of the time. So, yes.
Okay. Huh. Whereabouts is the story set? What city or state?
New York and New Jersey, if I'm correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah, New York, not even people today don't have a lot of cars in New York City. It's too expensive to park.
That's one of the few cities, I think, where it's mostly pedestrian. But I couldn't imagine, like, a city like Vegas is not walkable.
No, it's
in the strip, it's not walkable because in the strip, you have to really, really separate yourself from the car. There's a lot of people using their cars to see the city. So you have to separate yourself from them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be difficult to just imagine not having that mode of transportation just readily accessible.
Yeah.
I think it's in the 15th century. See, and I like going back in time and looking at all the fun stuff there, especially if you go back in time and you've got a specific place in mind that you're looking. So if you're like looking at Scotland, if you're looking at Europe, you know, all the different things happening during those times. My oldest daughter is doing world history this year in high school. And I told her, like, that's one of the best histories because you really get to explore lots of different parts of the world and the different civilizations. And she's like, oh, I hate it. I like U.S. history. And I'm like, whose child are you? World history is so much more fun.
Well, the history of every country, like in World War I, which country fought and why they fought.
Yeah, there's so much more to discover in world history, but she's the opposite. She's like, I liked U.S. history.
Yeah, it was hard researching, like, for Cinder, because I'm like, oh, what she's, you know, because she had to make food for the family in the book, and it takes place in the, you know, medieval times. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, what did they make? You know, I'm thinking pastries. No, they didn't make pastries the way we make them today. I'm like, oh. Crap.
There used to be a series on YouTube and you might still be able to look it up. And it was called the Supersizers Go. And then they would, the time period was after it. And yep. they would spend a week in a different time period recreating the food of that time period and eating it and seeing how it affected them, you know, throughout the week. And then it was really, really interesting because there would be like some time periods where they didn't have clean water. So they were drinking beer most of the time.
Yep.
And just going through drinking beer all day long.
Yeah.
You know, and how it affected them. It was really fun to watch. And as a research, you know, point, it was kind of interesting too. So if you're writing about a time period and they happen to cover it, you can have like not only just the research material, but the visuals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So your story can be more relatable to the audience. That's one. Yeah. So research is very important in your story.
Oh, yes. Accuracy is important because readers who know will call you out on things that are not correct.
Absolutely.
But research is the fun part. For me, it's really fun. I enjoy it. Discovering new stuff. I probably have files and files of just random factoids that I've picked up over the years. Whether I use them or not, who knows? But you go down the rabbit hole, you research one topic. And then you move on to another topic or another linked topic, and it takes you to another one and another one.
This is cool. This is really cool.
You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're, you know, researching, you know, the atom bomb or whatever, just because you've managed to go down that far that you've hit this topic, and you don't even know why you're searching it. So, in all of your research, you said that the military was the most interesting.
Yes, they have military base in the city, and there's less cars in New York City and New Jersey comparing to.
Were there any kind of like covert government installations along with that?
No, just military base. I'm pretty sure it's about, you know, protecting our country. I'm sure for that, but it's just a military base.
How about you, Jane? What was the most interesting fact you researched?
Probably blood splatter.
A lot of killing again.
Yeah. And how long it takes somebody to bleed out. I've done that.
I've done that one too.
I've done, you know, is it possible for a bomb to like create blood mist? You know, turn somebody completely into that. What else? You know, the food from the medieval times, that was interesting. But yeah, I've got a lot of really weird things. And then the whole Wiccan religion, I had to research that for one of my books because one of my characters was a Wiccan. So that was kind of neat.
That is good stuff. I've been going down the rabbit hole on the different pantheons lately.
Okay.
So Norse mythology, Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology, and just comparing the different gods, the comparisons between some of the gods that are the same but just have different names across them. It's I don't know. I like it. It's very, very interesting to me. And I don't know if I'll ever actually use them, but I went down the rabbit hole one night and I couldn't stop myself.
Well, that's a lot of those are on my to-do list. I've got the Valkyrie Norse stuff that I'm going to do for one. I have,
No, we don't. Yes.
No, I didn't do that, Rebecca. Gave me her forensic class note.
Cutting out the tongue. Oh.
Yeah. And you can do that. Yes, it is, Rebecca. I have no idea what I was just going to say. She's completely derailed my thought process.
Normally it's Jason that's the derailer.
Yes, well, Rebecca's here in his place, so.
Research is fun. And you said you were talking about Valkyries. So yeah, you've got another series you're thinking of doing?
Yep, I have a Valkyrie series. I have a Greek god sort of series that's coming out, or that is going to be coming up, not coming out. I have, I think, an assassin series.
Wow.
You saw those, right? Yeah, blood on the popcorn ceiling just does not work.
Rebecca!
Let's just scrape the ceiling and repaint.
Much easier to just repaint.
So you got to scrape it off first. So, but yeah, I have a whole host of things just waiting in the wings. So I don't know what I'm going to do next.
I don't plan that far.
Oh, I have a whole stockpile.
Well, you have a cover art problem. We know that.
Yes. Yes.
I can't pass up a pretty cover.
Yeah.
But that provides inspiration. And then, exactly. You know, as fast as you write stories, I mean, you keep up.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, Roxanne, what is your writing style? Do you have a daily word goal? Because you said you're working on a third book now.
Yes.
So do you have a daily word count, a weekly, you know, goal to reach? How do you go about setting up your writing time?
No, whatever makes me comfortable. Like right now, every time I write my third book, I always, you know, stop whenever I feel like it. And but my only goal is to have it published probably in a year or two. I don't have any word count because I don't want to pressure myself that much.
That's fair. Take your time. Make sure the story comes out as you like it. Now, are you going to look into doing a series, or are these all just standalone books that you're writing?
Standalone books so far.
Okay. Neat. Very cool. Jane, what's on your docket?
Book three.
That's right. Book three.
And maybe we'll shoot for the November date instead of January.
We'll see how fast we can write it.
Yep. We have editors' dates ahead of time, both Katie and I do, to try to make ourselves actually finish something.
Hey, nothing motivates like a deadline.
Yes. Yeah. So I have like one every two to three months. The summers, I think it goes a little bit less, but yeah. So.
I don't get it. And people think I write fast, but dang. How?
Always take your time. Do not take the time to write it. It won't be a good book. Always take your time. But
I usually set up a writing, you know, time. It's a routine. It's something that I do every day. I look to do about 1,000 words a day. Hopefully they're good words. It's usually first draft is word spew, which means I don't care what comes out. I just write because you can't edit what's not written. So getting the story out is the important part. So I really don't focus on quality. I focus on just getting the words out. So I average 1,000 words a day, try and do it every single day, around about the same time, so that I kind of have that built-in routine, that optimal writing time. And if it results in 3 books a year, I'm okay with that. But for someone like Jane, that's probably slow-paced.
Well, we've written 2 books in...
Dang it. I said something out loud and she heard me.
We started Beneath in what, June?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So between June and now, we've pretty much almost finished 2 books.
Yeah.
That's because you've got 2 people writing at the same time. So it's probably a little bit faster than either one of us would write.
What's nice though is we've been able to hopscotch too. So yeah. You know, if I wrote a chapter, you bridge that gap to the next one and like jump in with the following. So it's like we're continuing that single flow, you know, almost in a linear form without stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah.
It's been kind of amazing.
It has been. It's been kind of great. Like, I think I want to co-write with Katie for a long time. Our output would be freaking amazing.
And then, you know, I've got the whole, I must keep up. I must not disappoint because I don't want to be too slow that you're like, come on, Katie, get a chapter out. What's going on here?
No, I haven't razzed you. Have I?
No, but I have it in the back of my mind. I'm like, I gotta do this fast. I gotta be quick. I gotta meet my deadlines. Self-inflicted pressure, okay?
Yeah, we have what? When does the book need to go to our editor?
So on Friday. So we do have a hard deadline that needs to go.
Yes.
So far it's looking like it's possible.
Absolutely. You know, I've done my passes. Rebecca has an older copy. Sorry, Rebecca, but we have it a little cleaner now.
And but, the ending's getting a full workup too, because I'm spending a lot more time just pinpointing, making sure everything is just right on that.
Right.
How long it took me. Irish idioms, Irish slang. I mean, I was researching the hell out of them to get the voice just right for this guy.
Yep. Yep. You did a good job, though.
I'm hallucinating that you're harassing me. It's in my dreams. I wake up going, no, Jane, I'll get more words written.
And the whip.
How about you, Roxanne? How do you do like a first draft and then you do multiple revisions over the top, or do you try and focus on making each chapter perfect?
I'm draft and making it perfect, because when it's a graph, I can make changes or add more additionals to the story. So draft first, because I don't want to, you know, be one page at all, because it will not look good. So drafting, so I can make changes.
The first draft is only for you. That's what I always say. No one else is going to read it. So if it's a hot mess, that's fine. Let it be a hot mess. You can always revise it later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's like 10 or 15 revisions later.
Yeah. We've gone through, well, I've gone through things like multiple times too, just to do general cleaning up grammar and punctuation. Because I know when we're in writing mode, that's kind of left on the floor.
That's the last thing we think about. Where did that comma go? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I usually do a checklist at the very end. I've got like a keywords I look for. I run through my crutch words and I do a check to see if I find too many of them and replace them with something else if I do find them. So there's that kind of, but that's more of a mechanical. It's like a find replace check at the very end.
Right. Although Katie does have the crutch of the Shatner comma.
I do.
I see it and I start laughing. And I say the sentence in my head in William Shatner's voice.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes. Very visual head.
Now I'm going to be doing it when I do my revisions. Oh yeah, I don't think I will ever give up the Shatner comma.
Yeah, just like I'm comma deficient, she's overly comma. So we blend it well, I think.
I'm also, I don't use exclamation points if I can help it.
Right.
Which is funny because in like emails, I'll use two or three in a row, but in novels, I'm like, no, can't use it. Can't use it. Somewhere down the line, somebody told me I was not allowed to have more than one exclamation point for every chapter. And I was like, okay. What? And that stuck in my head. And so I just don't ever use them. But in like emails, nope, you get all the exclamation points.
I don't use them very often either. I usually use the, you know, exposition afterwards to really show the disdain or excitement or whatever of the character. So
I haven't used them like exclamation point yet.
Uh-oh, what is she saying? But what about the walk-in comma? Yes.
No, I no, I don't. I can't do that.
I don't remember you.
I've got to find you the video. I took it. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. We were at Combat Con, and the guys that were in the booth next to us, they were the Juggers of the Wasteland. They look like big, scary biker dudes, but they're the sweetest guys that I think I've ever met. And one of them took one of my books and read it in the Christopher Walken voice. with all the pauses and everything. I have a video of it. I will find it. I will share it.
Yes, please do with all of us.
So what is your crutch, Roxanne?
My what?
Do you have a crutch, a word, or a punctuation that you overuse that you have to get rid of?
I'm thinking about it, but probably delighted, because every time I tell a story, I always make sure my characters have emotions. So I use a lot of delighted before.
I like that word, though. That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Instead of using, you know, felt happy, I just put it like in a word, delighted. So I've been using a lot of delighted before.
I like that. And that's one of the things that on the mechanical find and replace, I look for felt. Saw, yeah. Felt, heard. And any of those get replaced on the next go around with something else, because those are easy to use crutch words.
Yeah.
Hell.
It's like, you don't need to say I felt or I saw or I heard. You just show the sound.
Point is showing your character's emotions. So I've been using a lot of delighted.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of our time here. Roxanne, can you tell us where people can find you and your books?
They can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Facebook, they can just type Roxanne Sanute. On Twitter, it's SJ Roxanne. And on Instagram, it's Roxanne_Sanute. And they can find my book, Time Travel, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and Mashford online. And thank you so much for everything.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. This has been a wonderful conversation. I hope you had a great time.
I did. And I love you. And I love you guys. And I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you. You too. And you are welcome back anytime. Feel free to message us. Let us know when you got your next book out too, so we can bring you on and talk about it.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone who's watching.
Yep. Everyone who's watching, remember, like, share, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.